And of course, that's near and dear to me because, like my sister before me, I've made music a huge part of my life. And church music, hymns and Christian music is a wonderful thing and not to be taken lightly or taken for granted. So for those of us who love to sing, this message is encouragement and maybe a little help remembering why we sing and how we should sing. To those of us who hate singing or think we can't sing, I hope this message will be a realization for you that if you are a believer, it is not your choice. You are commanded by your master to sing, like it or not. Whether you think your voice is lovely or not, none of that matters. But you are commanded by the Lord to sing. And so I hope that we'll all take this message to heart. And when we have more to sing later in the service, and at the end, we'll sing it with extra gusto. If you would pray with me, please, so that I make sure that I'm speaking only God's words this morning and not my own, I'd appreciate it. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity today, as Pastor is away and clearly not well enough to come, to deliver this message, which I believe you have for each and every one of us today. I pray that you would help me to deliver it faithfully and not speak any words of my own, but only yours and from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, ordinarily I would say, don't use your cell phones or your tablets or whatever during the service, but if you'd like to look at this outline, I can tell you exactly where to find it. It is on a website called christianlibrary.org. And if you go to christianlibrary.org, and you don't have to, I'm going to give you you can write down your notes or just listen. But if you'd like, go to christianlibrary.org, and there will be on the front page an alphabetical, a list of the alphabetical letters. If you click on S, it will give a huge list of sermon topics and whatnot that start with S. And this one is entitled Singing in New Testament Worship. The Bible talks many, many, many times about singing. The Old Testament is filled with references to singing. The book of Psalms, of course, is a songbook in and of itself. And God constantly says in the Old Testament about the importance of coming to Him with praise and singing. But this particular message is based on the New Testament, and guess what? I forgot my water. I knew I was going to. Barbara says, you better bring your water, and I'm drying up already. It's in my little bag. It's right in my Bible bag. If you'll excuse me for one moment, I feel like I'm going to lose my voice before I start. I knew I was going to forget it. The doctor told Adam he's got to start drinking more in general because it'll just be good for his health altogether. And it's amazing how much water doctors will tell you to drink. It doesn't even seem possible. But apparently it's very, very important. We should all be drinking more water. So excuse me. That's better. okay, so excuse me. This message, Singing in New Testament Worship, is about this topic that has been on my mind for some time. I thought many times of writing an outline for a message on this topic, and ordinarily when this happens, I've given a message four or five times over the years. I have a couple of weeks' notice, but with an hour and a half's notice, again, I hope you'll just bear with me and see what we got from the Lord today. There are four main points to this message. It's organized in four points with several subpoints each. The first one being, what does the New Testament say concerning singing in the worship of God? The second part is, what is the purpose of our singing in worship? The third part is, how are we to sing? Is there a right way and a wrong way? And the fourth is, with all those things in mind, how do we make our song service more enriching? So to the first point, what does the New Testament say about the worship of God? There are a couple of subpoints, and the first one is this. First of all, we need to understand that what the apostles and the other teachers in the New Testament taught applies to us today. It is not something that we can point to and say, well, that was them back then. I know singing was important to those people way back then, but it's kind of, you know, gotten out of style. It's not cool to sing anymore, so let's just kind of brush that under the rug. Not so. When Jesus spoke to his apostles, he said things like in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, what I'm teaching you, you apostles, you're going to pass on in your letters, in your sermons, in your witness. You're going to pass on. So we can trust when we're hearing from the New Testament writers and the people, the teachers that are mentioned in the New Testament, that what we're hearing from them is what they heard from Jesus. I don't know that we ever hear Jesus speak of singing specifically, but if Jesus said, what I tell you, you're going to tell others, and then those others tell us about how important singing is, we can make the connection there that at the very least, Jesus knew how important singing was and wanted us to know it too. To the second part of this point, the words that inspired, that these inspired men spoke are binding on us today. And I'm going to give you a few Bible references here that you can write down or just look at if you're looking at it online. I won't read each one, but I'll just list them. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Also 1 Corinthians 14:37. And then one that I often refer to is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And I will read that one. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or as the King James says, is God-breathed. So if it's in the Word of God, you can trust that it is God's holy Word, and you can trust what it says. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the third part of this sub-point is that the New Testament church looked to those writings, those teachers, Paul and the other apostles, for their teaching. They learned from it, and we can follow their example and learn from it as well. Colossians 4:16 says, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise, ye must be King James, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. In other words, pointing out that the written word of God is to be trusted, to be passed on, to be taken seriously. So, now we know, and of course we knew this before, but we've been reminded that what is written in God's Word by the apostles, by the teachers of God's holy Word, is to be trusted and applied to our lives today. So now we're going to see if they've said anything about singing, about music, in worship. We're going to learn that the apostles did indeed teach a lot about the value of singing. Paul asked a little while ago if I had a verse that he could put with the, on the CD there as a reference for the message, and I chose this one because it's referred to several times during this message, Ephesians 5:19. I'm going to look it up in my NIV. Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to to the Lord. So, Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, thought it was important enough to include, your worship must include singing. Sing to the Lord. Lists several different ways of singing in that one verse. There's another important one, Colossians 3:16. Might want to hold on to Ephesians, because that verse will come back to a couple of times. But Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, both Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 were written to churches, specific churches, and by extension, just as the Lord said it would, to us today. And it is an instruction. These letters are letters of teaching, of instruction. And he instructs us to sing unto the Lord. Another verse is James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And we could find some more, but we're just going to move on for now, for time. But clearly, the writers of the New Testament, Paul and other teachers, emphasize the importance of singing. Christians practiced singing during the New Testament. I'm going to give you another list of several references here. I won't read each one, but these references are all about singing in the early church. Again, we know what we know, the history of the early church, for an example, to teach us, to learn from them. We learn that they came together to pray often, and we need to do that. We learn that they helped each other and helped the poor and shared with one another. We need to do that today. And now we're going to learn that they made very, very important music in their services, in their worship. Matthew 26:30 talks about their singing a hymn. Acts 16:25. This is probably a favorite of mine when it comes to the importance of singing. This is about Paul and Silas. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. Where were they? In church? They were in prison. Paul and Silas were in prison. Now, they could have spent all their time just praying. Praying is important, for sure. Praying is essential. It is primary. But they thought it important enough while in prison to sing praises to God. That puts some real importance on music, I think. Romans 15:9, I will sing unto thy name. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Hebrews 2:12. All examples of singing in the early church, in the New Testament church. So clearly, the Bible points out that singing is something very important, something that we should do. Let's look at the second main point here, which is, what is the purpose of our singing? Okay, we're told we should sing. It's a command. God says, come before me with singing. I want to hear a new song, God says. Why? Why? Well, a couple of different reasons. Number one, to give thanks and to praise God. Singing is one of the ways that we can praise God and give him thanks. Also, for teaching, for learning, teaching each other, admonishing each other. To the point of praising and giving thanks, let me give you a few more verses. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Romans 15:9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Acts 16:25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, this is the verse that I referred to before, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Their singing in prison was not just praise and worship, it was what? Witness. That's right. They sang because the other prisoners heard what they were singing. Who hears what you're singing? Melissa's coworker heard her humming Amazing Grace, wasn't it? This isn't Sunday, well. But that singing was noticed. It was acknowledged, right? For better or worse, someone heard that. It's a witness. Singing is a powerful thing. To the point of it being a teaching tool, all you need to do is look back at the couple of verses that we read earlier, Ephesians 5:19. We are to sing and speak to each other in worship and bring hymns and spiritual songs. We are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And then it goes on to say, with psalms and hymns and singing. So again, what is the purpose of our singing? It's to praise, to give thanks, even to witness. And it's to teach and to learn. Wherever there's teaching, there's learning. If I have something to say and I say it in song and it touches your heart and it makes you think, gee, I never thought of that. I'm going to look into that a little more. You've learned, and I've taught, or vice versa. So point three, how are we to sing? Is there a right and a wrong way to sing? And again, a couple of sub-points here. The first being that we are to sing in a way that is directed to God and not to man. Acts 16:25 is Paul and Silas. They are singing praises to God. Romans 15:9 that we read a little while ago is another example of that. And then we've also got Ephesians 5:19 again, that verse we keep coming back to, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We're to sing to the Lord, not just to hear each other sing. Or isn't that choir wonderful? Don't they sound lovely? It's not about us. It's about him. If that helps you get over your fear of singing or your desire not to sing, that would be great. Think of it as for the Lord, not for each other, not for the people sitting next to you, not even for yourself so much, at least to start, but for the Lord himself. He wants to hear your singing. So, again, Colossians 3:16, we've already mentioned that one. That's another example of singing to God. Here's a point that I thought was great. I put a little star by it as I was sitting here this morning, getting ready to share it with you. While it is good to have singing that is beautiful to the ear, we must remember that we should be concerned about pleasing God and not men. And I'm going to suggest to you that works both ways. If you think you're a great singer and you have a voice like an angel and you just want to share it with the world, tone it down a little and think about why you're singing and to whom. It's not about you. It's not about let's see how great you can sound, how you can ring through the rafters, right? It's about how is it pleasing to my Lord. And it also works the other end of the spectrum, which is those people, oh, I don't sing. That's not my thing. I'm not a singer. You don't understand. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. Now, the Lord says we're not supposed to be singing to each other, singing to hear how it sounds. And as this writer points out, it is nice to hear beautiful music, for sure. To hear a person sing a lovely solo, or to hear the sound of a church singing and ringing is a wonderful thing. But it's not about that primarily. What it is about primarily is singing to God. So sing out loud, Don't keep it inside. Don't be afraid of what somebody next to you is thinking or how it's going to sound to you or your neighbor or the person in the pew behind you. Sing to God because it's all about Him. We are to worship according to the dictates of God. That's the second point here. The first point, again, was that, I don't want to say it wrong. I lost my place. That it is directed to God and not to man. Second, that we are to worship according to the dictates of God. And God tells us we are to sing. I'll give you a couple of references. John 4:24 and 2 John 9:11. Here's an interesting point. 2 John 9:11, note that the writer writes here is that we cannot go beyond what God has commanded in worship. So we are to worship the way God tells us, but we're also not to add our own twist to things. We're not to preach something that isn't from His Word, but is from us, which is why I prayed this morning that I would do that, only speak the Word of God and not any of my own opinions, right? So we're not to write a song and sing a song that's all about our opinion of how things ought to be, but rather something that is clearly biblically sound, something that follows God's commands and can be supported with what we know as Christians. Third, our singing must come from the heart. It is to God, not to each other. It follows God's will, and it comes from our heart. Ephesians 5:19 says to sing with a melody to the Lord from your heart. Sing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And here's a little point that this writer includes here that I thought was interesting, and that is that there is a proper role for emotions in singing. Our emotions can be greatly affected by music. There are happy, joyful songs that make us want to clap our hands and shout praises. Even, you know, have a good, godly laugh, like Father Abraham, or, you know, one of those songs where you have to remember all the little things that go with it, and that's always good for a laugh. But it's a godly laugh. It's a wonderful, spiritual being in touch with the joy of the Lord. When you're singing a song like that, there are sad songs. I can't hear that song, Thank You, that old Ray Bolt song, Thank You. I'm sure you've heard pastors sing it a couple of times. Thank you for singing or for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. The thought of that, the thought of a small thing that you do having such a great effect, not only to the people closest to you, but to all of God's kingdom, the very thought of that. I can't hear that song without crying because it's so powerful. And it's not just an emotion. It's that that song kind of brings up that emotion. And so, you know, while it would not be right to try to manipulate people's emotions through music, it is certainly appropriate to sing a happy song when we're praising and worshiping. To sing a song that that calls us to action. We sang two of them today. We sang Onward Christian Soldiers. We just sang Rise Up, O Men of God. If you can listen to that song and not feel like you ought to get up and move and get out there for the Lord, you're not paying attention. That song Ben and Adam and I did, Mary, Did You Know? Over Christmas time, I mentioned I can't. Every year it comes around. It's been several months since I've heard it, and I hear it, and I just weep. The thought that the great I Am sent His Son for us is something just beyond measure, and it stirs a godly emotion deep in my heart to respond to. There's a song that Bob sings often at funerals or around the time when people have lost a loved one. What's the name of it? Just, just, Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Just the thought of that, the hope. If you know the Lord, what? Go ahead. Finally home, right? Just think about that. When you and when Bob sings it, I can't be sitting there in that and be unmoved. If you can hear words like that, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of I'm crying now, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, right? If you can hear that song or sing that song and not be stirred by it, you're not paying attention. So listen to the music and let those emotions well up in you when appropriate. And there's appropriate times to laugh and shout joy. And there's appropriate times to just sing with solemnity and deep felt emotion, because we share that together and we teach each other with it. And we lift each other up. And finally, in this point again, we are to sing with understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So don't just sing. Think about what you're singing. And let it mean what it means. Often the pastor will say, now this is a prayer song. Pray this song to the Lord. And there are many songs that are addressed directly to the Lord. Songs of prayer. Understand what you're singing. Finally, the last point here is then, having talked about all these things, how do we apply them to our song service and make our song service more pleasing to the Lord and more enriching to the whole service? Bob, you might be interested in this. The first section of this is for the song leader. And I'm not going to go down all the list. They give some suggestions, like choose songs that are scriptural, of course. Choose songs that people know and can, you know, and give your instructions clearly and all of that. The last one, though, I will point out, which I thought was really neat, to the song leader, do the best you can and rest assured that God will be pleased. When I first kind of looked at that this morning, I kind of glanced over it and thought, well, that's kind of a neat way to sort of sum up in a quaint saying what you might, advice you might give to a person who's leading singing in worship. But if you think about it, it's really very profound. In anything we do, whether you're the leader or just a singer, or whether you're witnessing at work, or whether you're preparing a lesson to teach a class, or creating a Christmas program for children, whatever it is, do the best you can and rest assured that God will be pleased. It doesn't have to be perfect. If God needed us to sing perfectly or write perfect play scripts for children or any of those things, if perfection was the only way that we could get God's attention or be pleasing to him, no one would please him. No one would have the hope. The greatest singer in the world hits a clunker every now and then because they're human. It's a wonderfully profound thing to think of. Do the best you can, whether you're just singing or whether you're leading or playing an instrument or whatever it is, and trust that God will be pleased with that. What a wonderful and profound thing that is to think about. The second part of this, and with this we'll be done, is for the assembly. Every person in the assembly should sing. I'm going to change that word and say every person in the assembly must sing. I don't mean to say that because singing means so much to me. I mean to say that because I know from experience that singing is a wonderfully powerful thing. And it's a command. God has made it very clear in his word that he wants to hear his people sing. So, singing is not meant for the many to listen to the few, right? I'll say that again. Singing is not meant for the many to just listen to the few. You sing, I'll just sit here and kind of look at the words and listen and nod my head. Not according to God's word. God wants each of us to sing if possible. Now, I know sometimes we lose our voices. I know Mabel and Linda have come in and just, there's nothing there, sometimes for weeks on end. God understands that. Sing with your heart on those days. But when you can, sing out loud and sing praises to God, because that's what he's commanded us to do. Again, Colossians 3:16, all about singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, here are some little suggestions. Hold the songbook up, look up, and speak up. When you do this, it's kind of easy to get sort of buried in your singing, all just kind of goes down and falls onto the floor. But hold your book up and sing out. Pastors mention sometimes the idea of having the screen, you know, where they put the words up. I like to hold a book in my hand, but I like that idea. When everyone's looking up at the screen, the praise goes where it belongs, up that way, not down onto our feet. Another one, be understanding. You'll like this one too, Bob and Mabel. Be understanding of the song leader when he makes mistakes. And I will say when the piano player makes mistakes. Because sometimes I'm sitting there, and if I get 80% of my notes right, I'm doing good. So for every 100, there's 20 that were, what was that? And be understanding of little mistakes that are made by the people around you. Again, it's not about how we sound to each other. It's about praising God and obeying his command to come before him with singing. And here's one more thing, to ponder while you're singing and to meditate on the thoughts that are in that song. Don't just let it be words on the page, but really think about what you're saying. Don't let your mind wander to what somebody else is doing or what someone is wearing that day or the big game or what you're going to have for dinner that night. Focus on what you're singing, and you will discover that there's a power in that. There's a huge, important connection to the Spirit of God when you sing his praises. So in conclusion, singing is a beautiful expression of our worship and adoration of Jehovah God. Let us strive to make it more pleasing to our Master and more edifying to each other. I'm going to suggest that we sing hymn 29 because, what's that? Oh, hymn number 29, it only talks about singing in the very first verse there, but it's called Wonderful Words of Life. And remember that when we're singing the way we should sing, the way we've just been talking about, we are singing God's holy words. So let's rise up. Let's sing. I don't care if you think you have the worst voice in the world. I want you to sing out loud. Let's ring the rafters, not for each other, but for the Lord in praise. Number 29. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Listen well to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All the wondrous story showing us his glory. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Often pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
I did want to say one more thing before we close today. After a brief prayer, as usual, we're going to sing a benediction. That's the words are written in your bulletin. I want you to think about these words. Can you give me the first word? Thank you. May, listen. May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him and walk in His way. May His presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love. Now, oftentimes when we're singing that, the pastor's walking down the aisle and he's going to greet people at the door, and people kind of start to gather up their stuff, and that's natural. That's the service is ending, we're getting ready to go on. But I want to challenge you, in light of what we've talked about today, about how important singing is, to sing these words. Don't deprive yourself of the opportunity to receive that blessing and to pass it on to others. May God bless you, you're saying. May He keep you throughout this week. Don't just sing those words. Sing it to each other. It's a blessing to pass on. And listen to the words for yourself, because you want to get through this week having God guard you and keep you from sin. Right? So let's pray, and then let's all sing together that benediction. And let's try and do that every week. Lord, thank you so much for this word you've given us today. We thank you for being among us and being present. Pray that you'll continue to be with Pastor and heal him and bring him back again with us soon. And just bless the rest of our time today. And as we sing this benediction, Lord, I pray that you will help us to take the words to heart and to pass those words on with the great power that are in them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.